First of all, just the word of Hakdamah. Before talking about Hallel, about the details of Hallel, I mentioned many times in the past that Chazal say that Hallel of Pesach by the Seder was such a tremendous moment of Simcha that it's not shy to compare any Simcha experience to the Simcha of Hallel by Pesach by the Seder. Just you look at two mamorim, one from Tanakh, from Yeshaya, and one from Chazal. And Yeshaya talks about the happiness of the Geula. It's one of the most emotion-packed parts of all of Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, where it has the shir of Bayoimahu Yushar Hashir Hazevi Yisro. That means when during the Geula there'll be a shir Yisroel, the likes of which is no other shir. It seems the shir about the whole Golus, about the Geula. Hashem Alekeinu Ba'olunu Adoinim Zulhasechol Avad B'chon Az Kishamecha. As such, and that shir, the Pasuk says, Hashir Yir Lachem, it'll be for you, Kaleil His Kaddish Chog, like the night of the Chag, not the night of the Gula from Mitzrayim, but like the night of the Kedusha of Chag of Pesach, in other words, the night of the Seder. That's how big the Shir of the Gula of Lasset Lova. Me, Yeshaya, just want to. Kedai, there are so many things there, and that shir. So even if you don't put in the effort to learn Kisrei Kodesh, it's Yeshaya Chav Vov, right? Pischu Shorim V'Yovei Goy. Tzadik Shoimer Amunim, where it says Hashir Yilachem Kalelus Kaddish Chod. But you should take a novi and look through Chavov from the first pasuk. So Kosof, if you want to see now the Novi describes the Shir of the Geula, it's going to be so big, so filled with happiness and Shevach Vaidor, 2,000 years of the Golos have come to a climactic end, and it'll be such a Simcha, just like the Shir of Pesach by night by the Seder. No. And Chazal referred to the Hallel, I didn't have Shir, because the Gemara darshens that pasuk, Hashir Yilachem Kaleilus Kaddish Chog, and the Gemara learns out from there that we don't say Hallel when we eat Pesach Sheni. Why? Because it's Tafkiu, and it says Kaddish Chog. When the Chag becomes Kodesh, in other words, it's the first night of Pesach, when there's a Chag, and we made Kiddush and we were Mekaddish the Chag. That's the Leil His Kaddish Chag. So the Pesach Sheni, there's no Leil. The Gemara learns out from there that you don't say Hallel when you eat a Pesach Sheni. You only say Hallel during the Shechita of Pesach Sheni, right? Because there are two Hallels better by the Korban Pesach. One is when you makir of the Korban Pesach. You said Hallel over three times and everything. And one when you eat the Korban Pesach later. And Hashir Yilachem Kaleilus Kaddish Chag, so it's not called Leilus Kaddish Chag, so by Pesach Sheni it's only during the Shechitas of Pesach, not during the Achilus of Pesach. But from there you see the Mardik is Simcha. And another thing, the Gemara in Psachim, right? You know that already by now because you heard it from me innumerable times. The Gemara says, Isaiah's Pischa Vahalula Poka Idra. when they ate the Kesayis Pesach, and they say you had to stay inside because you couldn't go outside, right? That's what it says, that you can't go out of the chabura. It's a law. So they have to stay inside. But inside, there were, you know, 10 times the amount of people that could fit in Yerushalayim. Everybody was crowded together. So it was very hot, very sticky. So right afterwards, they wanted a little bit more air. So they climbed to the roofs. And the whole of Klal Yisrael climbed to the roofs of Yerushalayim, and they sang the Hallel. And the Gemara says the joy expressed in singing the Hallel was so great that it looked as if the whole Yerushalayim was exploding, all the roofs. Right, if somebody would look, he would see it as if the roofs of the city were just exploding with pokahig, or the roofs were jumping off, exploding. And so, from these to Amar Chazal, so you see how much simcha you have to pack into the halal at the end of the Seder. I always mention this in my own Seder when we're about to say Hallel, to get a little idea. We're used to leaving out Loilonu when we say Hallel. You know, it's under every Shreidish we leave out Loilonu, except Shreidish Tevis, right? And we say Loilonu. But the Gemara in Sochim Darshan's Loilonu many times, all kinds of different drushes from Loilonu. The rest of Pesach, after the first day, the first 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, so after that, you don't say Loilonu any longer during Hallel. But we're Darshan so much from Loilonu. I'd like to point out a very interesting chiluk between the Perik Loilonu and the Perik Ohavti. You know, Loilonu and Hashem's Chorom Yivorach is really one Perik, right? We just leave out the beginning of Loilonu when we make a Halva'ala. These two Perokim speak about Chazdei Hashem, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us and everything. And each one has the half where the first half where we speak about the goyim, about the dangers that we're in, about the enemies, and the second half, the part that we say under Shreidish, right? That speaks about the, you know, the Yeshua from the Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us. But you'll notice that there's a tremendous chilik between the first Perek and the next one. The first Perek, Loilonu, speaks about the Tzoras and the Yeshuas of the Tzibur. And the second one, Ahavti, speaks about the Tzoras and the Yeshua of the Yochid. And you imagine that when you speak about a Tzibur, so it's greater. Speak about a million people, how much greater it is than that of the Yeshua of the Yochid, right? But it's really the opposite, because when you speak about a Yochid, you could contain the scope of the tragedy and the wonder of the Yeshua. It's personal. It's something that you could relate to. It's something that you could express all your feelings with. When you speak about the Tzibur, it's too big. There was one of the worst Yeshayim that ever lived in the history of the world. Stalin of Russia said that when one person is killed, it's a tragedy. When a million people are killed, it's a statistic. He killed many more than a million people. Somewhere in the vicinity of 30 million. But it's a remarkable... People lose their ability to identify with a million people. I remember after the war, I was still a youngster, but there were Clayton didn't come right away to America. One of the first Clayton who came was the closing figure of here. He spoke all over the place, and then he went right back. He was a young man. He went back to Europe because he did work in the camps and had to rebuild the Yiddish country. And but before him, one of the earliest ones was Rav Oshri. He was interesting. He was the Rav of Kovna during the war. How do you explain that? Because he wasn't hiding. The Germans, the Yimach Shamom, tried to kill out every Yid in those parts of Europe. But Sof Kol Sof, he was in hiding and he practiced Rabbonis. He came here before the closing door. And when he came, he spoke about the 6 million Yidden were killed in Europe. And when he spoke, people, you know, heard it, and they cried, and they responded to it. They couldn't, you know, nobody could absorb it till it took a while. And Klausenberger spoke about Man Burich, Man Zisha. He spoke about Yechidim, and people burst into tears 10 times more because they could identify with the Burichel and with Zishelim. They couldn't identify with 6 million people. Again, it's just like a... So you just take a look and you'll see right away the Yolchavzi, the tone, at the difference between Lolonu and Hashem's Haronu. And on the other hand, we have to, and Moshe, okay? You'll see the difference. And then you appreciate what I just told you. So let's take it in a big slice now. Right? Lelonu Hashem, Lelonu, Kul Shimcha, Ten Kovet, it's not credit to us. It's only a credit to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Al Chastecha, Al Yochesed, Al Avitecha. Amitecha means that you carried out your promise. That's the difference between Chastecha and Amitecha. Chastecha is something that's out of the blue. Amitecha is something you were promising. You hung on to that promise all through the years, right? That's why we say earlier in the Haggadah, V'hi sha'omda la v'seinu v'lonu. V'hi refers to the word the Havtocha. The bris, bein amthorim. The Havtocha, the bris, is Sha'omdo Avisainu V'lonu. That's what gave us the courage to survive all the different Nisyonos. Shelo Yechad Bulvad Omed Aleinu L'chal Avisainu. And I explained that when we went through V'hi Sha'omdo. Ki Yomashim Chotein Kovet Al Chastecho Over the Great Chastonim Alamitecho Over the Truthfulness, the carrying out of the promises to the letter that you promised us throughout all the Kisvei Kodesh. And during that time, there were people who said, Aye, no, you know. Loma Yomer Hagoyim, Aye, no, Lehaya. But the Goyim said, Kolokeda Bashamoyim. Elo Shechofek Sosa. The Baruch Hu does what he wants. And it's only sometimes a matter of time. Because Hashem Yisburach is not ready to end the Golus. And these Goyim who walk around and gloat as if they're superior, Asabeim Keser Azov, right? They're foolish, worrisome statues are Keser Azov, Masi Dayodim, Pelahim Loy Daberu, and I am Loyiru, and I am Loyishmo, Aflam Loyirichon. They can't pronounce the words with their throats. And just like these still stone dead objects, so too the people who made them should be the same way. They should turn into a pile of rubble. Yisrael, B'tach v'Hashem, we trust in the Rishon. Ezra Mumaginam, he's our help, he's our protector. Saran b'tchum Hashem, Ezra Magino. Yuri Hashem b'tchum Hashem, Ezra Magino. Okay. And then we say, Hashem Zecharonu, Yivorech. Rebbeinu Shloim, you remember us and give us your bracha. Yivorech is Beis Yisrael, Yivorech is Beis Aaron, Yivorech Yuri Hashem. Haktanu Magdoilim. Okay. We'll go back to these things a little bit, but let's get the whole picture first. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem Yalvenechem. Okay, he's self-explanatory. Ruchem Atem Lashem, Oisek Shemayim Boris. Okay, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem follows the theme of the first posse, Elokeinu Hashemayim. The Bernstein's up there. And down in this world there's trouble, but that doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ignoring us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, creating the events of this world, but they have their time and place, and they don't suddenly appear, but they have to be, you know, left to the time when it's ace the weather. Okay. Right, those who are dead can. Anachnu, but we, the Baruch Kohen, out of our own holy. So that's the first praise for the public issue. Second, take a look at the personal Torah and the personal salvation. Vahavti ki yishma Hashem es koili tachnuno. This is a reflection on the person makes after having gone through a terrible sorrow and been miyayish on his life, and he was anywhere but experiencing ahavti. He was toivly, right, moisi mechaya. That's what he felt with. He didn't have any love for that time. Later, when the Yeshua came, it was so sweet. Then, so wonderful that he says it was just worth all the Torahs to experience the Yeshua coming from Hashem Yisburach. Right then and there, you say that you cried. Of course, when he did cry, Koili Tachnunai, if there's anything but Ahavti, that feeling is described in, right? Elech Hashem Ekra Vel Hashem Eschanun in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Bais L'David, and over there you see the real Mabes HaVedomi, right? What value does my life have? Yiditi El Shachas Hayoz Ha'ofa Yagad Amitecha Shema Hashem Echoneini Hashem Yoizeli. It's different. There's no Ahavti at that moment. But when you contemplate Yeshua after it happens, then the reflection is what gives it its full measure of triumph and appreciation. And Hashem Yisburach heard your koil is tachnun. Kita Oznoili, he paid attention to me. V'yomai Ekra, even though I called out to him for many, many days till I realized that he was listening to my tefillos. Pafuni chevle moved, right? Ropes of death were smothering and surrounding me. Misore sha'oil, the torus of the grave, misa'uni, caught up with me. Torah of yoga in emsa. Shema shemekra, I called, ona shemalta navshi, spare my life, please. Very interesting, because the word ona is spelled with a hey. Usually ona meaning please is spelled with an aleph, the ruchet. Okay. There's another word, ona. As you know, it means where, and it's without a dogish in the nun. Ona anachnu oilu, where are we going? Right? Chanan Hashem etzadik velkeinu v'rachin. Shoyim etzoyim Hashem, look how foolish I was, Rebbeinu Shloman, yet you protected me. Taloisi, look how poor and how without merit I was, Uli Yoshia, and yet you decided to save me. Shuvi nafshi l'nechoichi. You take a look at this pasuk, these psukim over here, Rabbi, you can't compare anything to it from the sheer pathos. Shuvi nafshi l'nechoichi, return to your menucha. He's speaking to his nefesh. Right? It's a, you know, call to the nefesh, second person, Shuvi, return, nafshi, my nefesh, l'nechoichi, to your rest. After all the stormy, restless experiences, Ki Hashem Gomal Alochi Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right, had rachmonis on you and gave you these things which you didn't deserve. Ki Chilatzta Nafshi Memoves, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you saved, you spared, you plucked out my nefesh from Moves. Esayinim in Dima, my eyes from the incessant crying. Esragli Bidechi, my legs from slipping and falling. As halach l'fnei Hashem v'atzus hachayim, I always refer to this pasuk. The Chazal have an interesting uptight of as halach l'fnei Hashem v'atzus hachayim. When you hear it, it's because it gets you something unexpected. What's our, the Gemara says, what are atzus hachayim? Mokim shvokim. So you walk on a business street with a lot of stores and everybody's buying bread and clothing and food and all kinds of useful personal needs, right? That's called Arta Sachaya, the land of the living. It's where people buy some. Sometimes when I go to a street where there's many stores in this little village in Kensington, we don't have any such. But if you take a bigger section in Borough Park and Flatbush, we could walk through blocks of, you know, food supply. I sometimes stand and look at it in amazement. You know, the person is halach l'fnei Hashem ba'artzei shachayim. So the person who says that is dreaming of one day being able again to live a normal life where he goes about keeping himself alive. That's halach l'fnei Hashem b'artzei shachayim. Tell you it's I practically not completely never, I have no shita like that, but I practically never enter a store. All my shopping is done for me, Baruch Hashem, Chazei Hashem. I just when I walk among the stores without stepping over the threshold of a store, I just very often just contemplate the novel interpretation of Chazal and its the awesome meaning. Artes Achayim. Look at the Mokav Shvokim. Now comes two psukim of what a person felt when he was in his worst moments of Tzoras, when he thought the world was caving in. Hamanti, Rabban Shalom, forgive me, I really believed it. Kiyadavir, what I said. Before I tell you over what I said, I have to say, that I only said such foolish and terrible words because of my horrible suffering. I said it just without thinking. That old man is meaningless, right? All human life is worthless. There's no value, no. Koisev is empty, meaningless, valueless. It's such horrible words. And so before he even expresses it, he like has to excuse himself over and over. I did believe it. When I said it, I didn't realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned for me. The second excuse, I only said so because I was suffered so much. I said so without thinking. Look how many. Just to express such a terrible remark, Kol Adam Koisev, how valueless life is. And then immediately he says, no. Moshav Hashem. How could I answer? Hashem is Borach. Right? Kol Tag Meloi, Yoloi. All his goodness and his rewarding actions, all are coming to me. Because Yeshua is Esau V'Shem Hashem Ekra. Right? I just, if you reflect a little, I mean, the amount of power and emotion in these two Tzrokim, like they dwarf the ideas relating to the Tzibur by 1,000 to 1. I mean, you can't even compare it. The Pesukim Afafuni Chevle Moves Uvetzor Shalmet Sa'uni, right? Shoyme Psoyim Hashem Daloisi Mili Yashir Shuvi Nafshel Mulchoichi Ki Hashem Goma Mulchoichi Ki Chla. It's just it isn't a word here that isn't so stormy and so explosive. No. You'd stop and think. When you say Hallel, it's just the gratitude and the espialus over the good that Hashem is borach, over the chasodim that He does to us. Mo Hashem Hashem Kol Tag Meloi Yoloi Kois Shuis Esau. The door and Hashem Hashalim, Ribbon Shalom, I'll pay off my Adorim, because Chazal tells us that Noidrim Beis Tzorah, the person, right, has Tzorah, he makes a Neder, I'll pay it off, I'll bring my Karbonis, Negdon Olochalam, in front of the eyes of everyone. Announce to the world all the chasodim that are so undeserved, which I experience. Yoker be'enei Hashem, a mosel achsidav. How heavy it is in the eyes of Hashem Yisburach. That's what yoker means over here. I tell you, some of you might have wondered what it says in the Gemara in Megillah. So it says, where do you find Targum in the Megillah? Because it says that if you change Targum to Lashon Kodesh, or you Lashon Kodesh to Targum, so it's no good. So the Gemara says, where are the Targum words? Bishwam in Targum, there's two Targum words. Yigar so adusa. That's a language. Targum is the name of a language, by the way. Okay? Doesn't mean translate. Targum is a certain language. The name of that language is Targum. Okay, that's the Syriac. Okay, Sursi. That's the language they spoke in Syria. Or Aramis, the language of Aram. The name of that language is Targum, just like when we say, how do you say translate in Yiddish? No? Teitsch, right? Teitsch the Chumash. Teitsch is the name of the language. Teitsch, that's it.
What's lost in Turgum?
What?
What's lost in Turgum?
Turgum means the person who gave it over in Targum language. They had to change it from Hebrew to Targum. Targum is Aramis. Targum is just the name of the language. Aramis means the language of Aram. Right? So let's. Like the word English means the language of England.
When Aram had Turgum.
Turgum means they took.
Translation.
Yeah, but they translated into. It means they took the words of the Mishnah and they explained it using the language of Targum. It became, of course, over years, over centuries, it came to mean translating. But the translating is something else. It's taking one language and changing it to another language. It actually, you know, it says in the Chumash, at the bottom, Peirush Ayin Tes. What's Ayin Tes? Ivri Teitsch, right? Ivri Teitsch. Ivri Teitsch is like saying you have a dictionary. French, English, English, French. Hebrew, English, English, Hebrew. Right? Ivri Teitsch, Hebrew, German. That's what it means. Anyhow, we'll get back to it. So the Gemara says in Megillah that where do you find Targum in the Megillah? So the Gemara says, Paschegin, Kavados, okay. Well, then the Gemara says, Yokur. Right? So it says, Manasa, Mordechai, Yokur, Gdula, also. Do you see? Yeah. Kocha, yeah. Shasher HaMelech, Chafez Bikoroi. So you think to yourself, hey, wait a minute, who says that's Targum? It says Yoker Ben Hashem Amosal Achsidus. Okay, that's not Targum. That's Hebrew, and it means a totally different thing. Yoker means heavy in Hebrew. In Targum, it means precious. Okay, so it's two different words, two different languages. Not because, although, when something is heavy, it's precious. And when something is light, it's worthless, right? So you see, there is a relationship. Huh? Vatekal givirta beinah. Right? What does that mean? She became light in the eyes of Hodor. Vatekal. So light is the opposite of kovet. And by the way, what does kovet mean? Heavy. Kovet leif para. Right? Kovet, kovet.
Yoker
here is heavy, because despite the fact that the two meanings are related, right? One is the language of Targum, like the Gemara says in Megillah, right? I have to repeat the also the Gemara, and here it's heavy. Yoker be'enei Hashem, heavy in the eyes of Hashem Yisborch, Hamotzo Death Lachsid of Tzadik. Okay. Targum. Manasa l'morotchei yikor gula. Manasa yikor gula l'morotchei. Yikor. The more close it is, it's all throughout the Megillah, right? As yikor teferes gedulasei. There we go. Okay. Ono Hashem, ki ani avdecha. Ono Hashem, I plead with you, I'm your servant, ani avdecha ben amasecha, pitachto moiseiroi. You opened up my ropes that bound me. Huh? Okay. Now, I told you, just go through it again. I mean, you can't get it with one shot. Go through these two pashas, these two is one. Ohavti through the Chassid Beis Hashem and Sechech Yerushalayim. It's the most, you know, the emotion packed took him. David HaMelech gives out the suffering, the personal suffering. He's talking about himself. But when he talks about the world, right, it's like talking about the 6 million. It's a statistic. That monster said, by us when we say it, so it's only it's just a study of words. When he said it, he meant it lemaisa. But so every time I say hallel, I just I always think of that when these words over here contain, it contains also a message of you can't focus on the real, you know, understanding of an event unless it becomes personal. Now going you'll ask a question, of course, so why is it necessary to even bring this sort of superficial way of addressing the Torah and the Yeshua when we have so much more of a powerful message? It's aimed doilomai. So why is it necessary? The Teretz is because we really have to think of the Tzibu. We have to think of Klal Yisrael. We can't just look on one's own problems. I mean, that's the world. It's a selfish way of looking at things of Klal. The Teretz is we have to look at all of Klal Yisrael. We have to look at all the Rebbeinu Shlom, Torah Shemayim, everything, the larger message, not the smaller message. But to get access to the larger message, we could only do it through using the personal message. In a sense, the personal halil is something that is the vehicle for being able to come. I would venture to guess, Rabbi Sai, that when millions of people stood on the roofs of Yerushalayim and they experienced the Leil HaKadosh Chag, Hashir Yilachem, or the Kzayas Pitzcha V'Halila Poka Igur, I think the explosive nature of the Halal of that moment was probably came to a climax when they said the Parshas of Ahavti, Mo'oshev. That's when the real explosion took place. There's one set of Meisah that he gave ever. He once said that a person could get his tefillah answered if he's mechaven by Ona Hashem. So this youth heard the message and he went home, and the whole time, every time Ona Hashem, when he says Hallel, so every time he said Hallel, he screamed his lungs out, so Ona Hashem. So nothing happened. So he came back to the Rebbe after, by the next Yontif, and he said, Rebbe, I don't know, I tried, I poured out my heart and soul and my kavanas and my voice and everything, but when I came to Ona Hashem, so the Rebbe said, which Ona Hashem? So And he says, "On Hashem Hashiyana, On Hashem Aslichana." Oh, the Rebbe said, "Oh, you got it all wrong." He said, "I meant On Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha." A different. Understand that's where the shlitzel is. But let's go back to Oilonu. Oilonu is a very important message, and it's to accentuate the foolishness of the world that we live in. We live in a world, and no matter how separate we are from the world, no matter how the large, deep the cleavage is that gives us our difference between the rest of the human race and Klal Yisrael. We say, right? Good. But we absorb the values of the world. It's like a fish would be swimming in the water and saying, "Baruch Hashem, you made me a fish, not water." That's very hard to think of water as being something totally different. And so when we live in the world lies it's all foolish, all wasted, all empty, valueless. But that's what makes the world tick. Remember those big signs that used to be all over? I haven't seen much of them lately. I can't tell you. Maybe they weren't successful in selling all that beer, but used to be a message from some beer company that had a bunch of guts in with chicks holding hands and smiling, and the other hand had a bottle of beer, and the message under the caption was that this is life, or this is happiness, right? Huh? There used to be such signs all over the place. They shared the limelight with cigarettes, except the government made them take down those signs. But if the government would be a little bit smarter, they would make them take down the signs about the beer too. Not because it's an aveir to drink beer, but because it's an aveir to think that that's life and that's happiness. To drink all the beer. What?
The government makes too much tax off
people. Yeah, the tax on cigarettes too. That was nice. And when they have a chance and we want to know about Klal Yisrael, so that's a bayam kesu reserve. Masi de Yodo, Pelohem Vloy de Beiru. And we have to just peel away the illusion, layer by layer. When you have a big illusion, and it's all make believe and all bluff and all worthless and all empty, you can't just crack the fantasy and get rid of it. Too big, too strong, too multi-layered. So we have to peel it away little by little. Pelohem v'loy adaberu. What message is there for us? What are their ideals? What are their words? What are they telling us? Nothing. Nayamam v'loyiru. Was so despoiled, right? First halachim, dalat chelkei shulchan aruch, there are no percent or chayim siman aleph sif aleph. Please, by a shodim with me, I'm a ligim olam. Right? Why are we so sensitive, hypersensitive to the eyes of the goyim that look on us. Sometimes you have a greater, you can look at the Avodah Zarah, they don't hear Aflehem lo yerichu Yideyem lo yamishen Aglehem lo yalech lo yegev ajoyna. And now it's all gone. Until we sort of rob the Avodah Zarah and the Yaldei Nochrim, like the Pesuk in Yeshaya calls it, ideas that are born from foreignness, foreign ideas, ideas that were created by foreign allusions, Yaldei Nochrim, or the Yaldei Nochrim Yaspiku. That's what the Pesuk means right at the beginning of Yeshaya. So, it means something. People have their interests. I always remember that. There was a doctor in Muncie who was a big Askin, and for one period of time he was the president of the Orthodox Union. Oh, you. Well, nothing to do with kashrus, but they have a big organization. So he came back from a big speech that he made, which he prepared for a whole month. And when he came back, he called together everybody in the OU office. He had something to tell. What was it? He says he was invited to speak on Jewish Yonim, after all, the Orthodox view of world Jewish issues. Okay, it's not very impressive. So he prepared for a month. A tremendous drasha about the security problems of the state of Israel and the meaning of the alliances that they have with the different nations. This and that is a very deep, complicated topic. And whom did he speak to? He spoke to the graduate students and the staff of the University of Rochester. Nope. A sophisticated audience. And he told us over. Maybe he had to tell this over. I mean, he was right in telling it over, because a person who just had such an experience, you can't plot so unless you tell it over to people who will appreciate it. So he came back and he called everybody, and I happened to be there that day, and he told over. He finished his drosha. And he felt that the ideas were so carefully worked out, and he was very proud of the speech. And then he turned to the audience and he asked if these, you know, professors and graduate students, if they have any questions, hopefully, anything. He prepared all the answers and all that. A whole bunch of hands went up. And interesting, they all had the same question. And the question was, is it true that the OU is going to give a hechsher on M&M's? That was the question. Grimaldi. And you know, when you just think of it, take a look at the Yiddish cup that you have. The Baruch Hu put a treasure into our minds. What a fantastic, all the diamonds in there that ever did exist and will exist. They're not equal to the value of the brain that Hashem Baruch Hu gave us, the Hasechel Anoki Mikol Pega. But if we fill it with all the waste products and the garbage given off by the surrounding society, so that's, you know, the Shimchot Tein Kovod Al Chastech Al Amitecha, right? We have a Ribbono Shel Olam, but we can't really recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam until we get rid of the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the Baal, the Asherah, the stuff that. But there's plenty of Avodah Zarahs. If you think that we have no Avodah Zarahs, real old fashioned Avodah Zarahs, you know, like they had in the time of Bilam ben Beor, you're a little mistaken, because even though Chazal say that the Avodah Zarahs and the Chutz La'aretz are long been ago, a lot of it's coming back in its original pristine form, like it used to be in the old days. But we don't have to accept these tukim which speak about Avodah Zarah in such a, you know, realistic way. We could apply it in a more figurative way to a lot of things, because think of it rather not as a statue made of gold and silver standing up there, you know, with Nebuchadnezzar and the like, telling you, if you don't bow down, we'll throw you in the fire. Yeah, that's not. Think of the Avodah Zarah as an illusion, because that's all it is. When it has a statue of gold, silver, or wood, or stone, or whatever it is, it's for heaven. Whatever it is, it's not the wood, it's not the gold, it's not the stone or the silver. It's the illusion. The idea that some force exists which has control over you, which you have to placate and you have to bow to. And the illusions, as I say, don't have to take the form of a Avodah Zarah. The illusions are illusions, whatever form and shape it takes. And when you honor an illusion, so then you just took one little step. Like the guy said, it's a small step for man and a giant step for mankind, right? You know, it's a prepared statement to the first guy who traveled to the moon, stepped on the moon. So he came one day to the Manashevist Master Company for a visit, and he told him that really the first thing he said when he walked out of the moon lander was something else. It's a personal secret that he wants to give over to the Manashevist Master Company. He said when he stepped out to the moon, he took a look around and he said, "Man, oh, Manashevist," that used to be the advertisement for Manashevist Master. But anyhow, when you, it's a tremendous giant step. I say, when you give any semblance of reality to an illusion, you're moving in a way, a tremendous leap. You can't give reality to an illusion. But the illusion has so many parts to it that you can't just prick a hole in it with a needle and all of a sudden the balloon bursts. It's too complicated for that. That's why you gotta peel away the parts of the illusion individually until finally it turns into nothingness. Okay? And that's what you have to think of. Elohim, right? Lo yedaber. A message. It's the first thing that they see. It's the pair, it's the message. The ideas that they promulgate. That's the pillar that blew that baby. And so on and so forth. Okay? So, that's the That's it for today.